In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall.
Hello out there, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England, and welcome to the newest episode of Film Bookcast, the official podcast of filmbook.com. I am your host into the wonderful world of mischief, Mike Smith, and joining me as always is the Robin to my Barry Gibb.
Mike DiCriccio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about things that are happening in movies.
Yes, it's almost as if this is a podcast for film-related topics.
You would think. I think we may have to change the title.
To what?
To reflect that.
To reflect the film element of our podcast.
Yeah.
Call it like...
Movie pod.
Yeah. I like it. All right, guys. Welcome to Movie Pod. Basically, if you've never listened to an episode of Movie Pod before, what we do is we discuss film news. This week, we're going to talk briefly about a lot of stuff that happened the past 2 weeks, mostly in franchise-related news. We're only going to spend a few minutes on that because we want to spend more time talking about Leonard Nimoy, who died a couple weeks ago. After that, we want to discuss the movie Chappie, which is why you're here today. We will be reviewing Neil Blomkamp's newest film, Chappie, starring Charlton Copley, Dev Patel, Hugh Jackman, and Sigourney Weaver. After that, we're going to be moving on into our recommendations for the week, and then this show will end. And then what will you do then?
You'll wait with bated breath.
Until the next episode.
Until the next episode.
And we don't even know what that episode will be yet.
No.
Maybe it'll be Run All Night.
It's a mystery.
Maybe it'll be Cinderella.
Maybe it'll be The Gunman. We'll never know.
Maybe it will be The Gunman. There's so many options.
Only time can tell.
Only time can tell. All right, guys, let's begin this episode. So for our film news segment, we're just going to briefly go over a bunch of things. Zoolander 2.
Yeah.
Tron 3. A Ghostbusters shared universe.
Uh-huh.
Star Wars Rogue One and Star Wars Episode 8.
All right, that's it for movie news. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Well, it's been a big week for sequels.
For franchises.
For franchises, yeah. It's almost exhausting, actually. Like, it seemed like every day there was something. Also, Frozen 2. I meant to mention that,
Frozen
too.
Frozen 2 is in there.
Frozen
right.
2 is also happening. But of these movies, are you excited about any of them?
The Star Wars things, definitely.
Sure.
What else was there? No. Tron 3, whatever, I guess. Tron Legacy was cool. Because I wasn't alive when Tron 1 happened, but other than that, I wasn't too, like, I don't care, I guess.
Yeah, like, I skipped Tron Legacy. I haven't seen the first Tron either, actually. They both kind of seem like,
Yeah, I mean...
the Tron.
Yeah, exactly. The soundtrack to it's amazing, because Daft Punk did it, which
right.
is really cool.
Yes.
But I'm really excited for Star Wars, because now we have some of my favorite filmmakers involved in an amazing franchise.
Yes. Yeah. Rian Johnson is doing episode 8, and I think it's confirmed he's writing and directing episode 9 now.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, and episode 8, the big news about episode 8 is that the release date is May 26, 2017, which is actually one day after the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars.
Really? That's okay. I see what they did there.
So that's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's cool. And they also confirmed the title for the first spinoff one.
Yes, and that'll be coming out in December 2016. That's being directed by Gareth Edwards, who directed Godzilla, and it will star Felicity Jones,
yeah.
who is awesome. The title of that movie is Star Wars Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
which I think implies that the spinoff will be about something with the Rebel Alliance,
yeah,
which is cool. That's of the various ideas for spinoffs, that was one that kind of was most interesting to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, in the Slash Film article about it, I think it was Peter Cerretta who wrote it, he said it's, you know, what that Rogue One is... or what they're referring to or whatever, or what they think it might be is like a squad of bounty hunters get hired to steal the plans to a Death Star type ship.
Okay.
When he said, think of Seven Samurai meets Ocean's 11 in Star Wars. And I was like, yup, that sentence I'm in. I want that forever. So hopefully that happens. But I saw another... article saying that there's, you know, it's all 100% speculation at this point.
Yeah.
But whatever, I want Seven Samurai.
Yeah, that was actually back when Disney first got Star Wars, one of the first rumors that was announced for the spinoffs was that the first spinoff would be directed by Zack Snyder, and it would be a Seven Samurai movie, basically just set in the Star Wars universe.
Oh my god!
So
that
I mean,
would be awesome.
I don't know how much credence there was to that rumor, because Zack Snyder's obviously not going to be involved in any of these now because he's tied up in the DC universe.
Right.
But you know, I think if they kept the idea of a Seven Samurai thing,
I'm in.
Yeah, it's cool.
That would be really cool. And Ghostbusters, I guess, is cool. Like, I'm excited for that only because it's Channing Tatum and Chris Pratt who are
right. It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
like because when it first came out, it seemed like okay, there's this all female Ghostbusters thing coming out, which we talked about, I think, in our last episode of the episode before it. There's this all female cast of Ghostbusters. It's really exciting, really progressive.
Yep.
And now it's just
now it's not the
Brobusters.
Yeah, basically. So that's really disappointing that that's happening.
Yes, but that said, the talent involved is cool.
Really,
like, Channing Tatum is probably going to be the main star.
Yeah,
And Chris Pratt is also probably going to be in it. Possibly,
yeah, is rumored at least.
It's a rumor, and it's probably going to be directed by the Russo brothers, who directed Captain America: Winter Soldier, will be directing Captain America: Civil War, and are known for various episodes of Community and Arrested Development.
Right.
So they're a really good.
It's got some awesome stuff. People attached to it.
Yes.
However, it would have been really cool. I mean, and when we were talking about it before, earlier, me and you, you said it's the Marvelization of every franchise ever.
It's the
now.
Marvelization, because it's like it's going to be this whole shared universe. Like, in addition to these, they were talking about like a future team-up film between the two teams of Ghostbusters and like some kind of prequel story, and nobody knows what the prequel story will be.
Yeah.
I hope it's about Slimer.
Oh, my God.
Slimer's life pre-Ghost.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Like, if there was no... There was no ghost busting at all. It was just the life of the guy who became Slimer.
Yes, I want that. I'm in for that movie.
So that's the Ghostbusters shared universe. And then there's
directed by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. And then there's Zoolander 2, which has been anticipated for a long time.
Yes,
Ben Stiller has been talking about it for years. It's supposed to be directed by Justin Theroux,
which he has amazing eyebrows. That's part of The Leftovers.
Anyway, Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson went to like a fashion show as their characters.
Yeah,
Zoolander.
It was Fashion Week in Paris this past week, and they came out at the Valentino show, I believe. They were like the finale of the runway
Something like that, yeah. And they came out.
Which is amazing. That's the best use of, like, I don't want to say viral marketing, but like, because that was immediately the front page of Twitter was like six pictures, like posts about that. So it worked. I wasn't excited, and now I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think, you know, comedy sequels are always tricky.
Yeah, I mean, Anchorman 2 didn't really work.
Well, I personally really liked Anchorman 2, actually.
I still haven't seen it, actually.
What are you talking about? What are you saying your things, man?
Yeah, man, I'm just going to pretend.
That said, I think we've had a couple of really good comedy sequels lately.
True.
Anchorman 2 being one of them, also 22 Jump Street.
I'll disagree. but just the it's been so long since the first one. I think that's where, you know, people are nervous because...
Exactly, yeah. It's always tricky.
It's been like 10 years or whatever.
Zoolander is such like a... I think Jermaine Lussier from Slash Film actually tweeted. He just rewatched Zoolander. And that movie's such a tripwire of tone. That's going to be hard to capture that again.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So it's going to be interesting, at least. And I think it's coming out soon. I think it's February 2016 was the...
It? I didn't even know that yet.
Yeah. So
whatever, I'm in.
Yeah, it's close.
That'll be cool.
It's coming.
All right.
But yeah, that's and also Frozen 2. Let's just throw that in there.
Whatever.
You know, that's going to be a thing. but yeah, that's basically a bunch of franchise news because there's no original ideas in Hollywood anymore.
Nope. Originality is dead.
Except for Chappie.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Chappie will be the last original movie that Hollywood ever makes.
Ever again. Until we get Chappie 2.
Chappie 2, the Chappening.
The Chappening. That's it. It's going to happen.
All right. So that's it for our film news segment. So let's move on. I think we were both kind of saddened this past week or 2 weeks ago at this point. It's actually happened right after we recorded our last podcast.
Really?
Yeah, like it happened on the 27th, I believe, was the day Leonard Nimoy died.
Sure. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was. And that was the day we recorded our podcast for The Lazarus Effect.
Uh-huh.
And like an hour later, that news came out.
Yeah.
So if we had known about it then, we would have podcasted
about
it.
We would have talked about it.
But in any case, Leonard Nimoy died a few weeks ago. Huge influence on everything.
Yeah,
The nerd community in particular. But like the in the whole world. When he died, President Obama sent out a thing saying I loved Spock.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that. That's really cool, actually.
But in any case, Leonard Nimoy was obviously best known for his role as Mr. Spock on Star Trek.
Correct.
In various media, the original series, several movies.
The animated series.
The animated series. Was he involved in the animated series?
It's the original voice cast.
That is the original voice cast, okay. Yeah. And plus, on top of that, he was involved with a bunch of different stuff. He had a huge role in Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
He directed Three Men and a Baby.
Really?
Yeah.
He actually had
a fairly significant directing career during the 80s.
That's awesome.
He directed Star Trek 3 and 4, and he directed Three Men and a Baby. Some of the best Simpsons guest appearances of all time.
Yes.
And he sang one of my favorite songs, which I'll probably play at the beginning and end of this podcast, The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
What?
Do you not know that song?
No.
I'm positive I played it for you at some point.
Probably.
But yeah, it's Leonard Nimoy singing a song about Bilbo Baggins that he made in the 70s. It's great.
That's awesome.
The video is even better. I obviously can't play the video on the podcast, but there's a video for it where he's just dancing with a bunch of flower hippie chicks.
Oh my God.
And it's the best. It's awesome.
That's the coolest. Leonard Nimoy was a boss.
Yeah, he did a bunch of different things. And his death actually spurred me to check out some more original Star Trek. I've seen many episodes of Star Trek over the course of my lifetime, but they are always out of order.
Just random episodes.
Happenstance. This is on TV. I'll watch it. But the original series is on Netflix. Actually, almost everything Star Trek related is on Netflix.
Yeah, most of it is.
So I checked out some early episodes of Star Trek, and there's some interesting stuff there. I've watched the first 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And
what'd you think?
Well, I mean, it's very early Star Trek, so it's not it hasn't really fully formed itself. But one of the things I found most interesting that I didn't know about before I started watching was the original unaired pilot of the show.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I didn't know that existed. And second of all, that's the first episode on Netflix.
Really?
Yes. And that episode's called The Cage. And that episode has no members of the original cast except for Leonard Nimoy.
Whoa.
Leonard Nimoy's in that pilot.
That, yeah.
And nobody else. No William Shatner, no Nichelle Nichols, no anybody. No.
Wow.
There's no George Takei.
That's crazy.
And that episode.
So it's not even Star Trek.
Kind of. I mean, the captain of the ship is Captain Pike. Who is the character Bruce Greenwood played in the Star Trek 2009 reboot.
He's the OG captain.
Yes. And I think the portrayal of Spock in that episode is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's normally this very stoic, very logical character. And in this episode, he's this young, upstart. He's very, go-getter.
The opposite.
Yeah, kind of almost the opposite, yeah. And so I think it's interesting to see Leonard Nimoy play the same character in a different way.
Right.
The character's not that big of a part of the episode,
mm-hmm.
But he is there. And he's
definitely part of it.
The only recognizable element of what became Star Trek.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then, I watched 2 episodes after that, and it's, normal Star Trek stuff. And Leonard Nimoy's banter with William Shatner was always the best part of Star Trek, and that, shines through, I think. And then it was also, Leonard Nimoy kept playing Spock until
last
he died.
Year.
Yeah, his last appearance as Spock was in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
That he's willing to be involved in
almost
every iteration of Star Trek.
I remember when Star Trek 09 came out and Leonard Nimoy was in it.
Yep.
And first of all, his appearance in that movie, gave it so much gravitas, I think.
Yeah.
Because it gave you, the stamp of approval, almost, from the
original.
Yeah,
this is for real. Yeah.
Yeah. And that movie actually used Leonard Nimoy in a really interesting way, because it kind of showed that everything that had happened in the past also happened, but this is, a new timeline.
Older timeline, right.
So, and they, kind of converged. So it was really cool. And Nimoy's role in that movie is really cool. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking his role in Star Trek Into Darkness was kind of lame, actually.
He just an ambassador or something?
Well, in Into Darkness, he's only in 1 minute of it.
Yeah.
And it's Zachary Quinto Spock calls him on speed dial.
Yeah. That's right. He FaceTimes him or something.
To explain Khan to him.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But, the appearance of Leonard Nimoy himself was not the problem. Star Trek Into Darkness just had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But Leonard Nimoy as Spock was always a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So, in any case, I think that, I just wanted to talk about that for a little bit. I think Leonard Nimoy is awesome.
Yeah.
And
we've lost a film icon.
Yeah, definitely. So, anyway, Mike, do you have anything else to add before we move on to our review of Chappie?
Not quite. He was awesome in Fringe. I'm a big fan of Fringe.
Okay, yeah, I've never
and
watched.
He's,
Fringe.
He's not a main character. Like he's a recurring character, I guess. But the character that he plays is a driving force throughout, from episode two, I think.
Really?
Yeah, he plays William Bell, who was what was his name? I can't remember. John Noble's the actor, Walter. His business partner, who had Walter committed in an insane asylum, and they're all trying to find William Bell because all of the company he works for or they worked okay. for together had all of these ridiculous, crazy sci-fi inventions, and it's their quest for William Bell. So he's a driving motivation for the whole show, and when he does show up, and it's it's Leonard Nimoy, yes, it's amazing because he doesn't show up till towards the end of season one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I remember when Star Trek 09 came out, and people knew that Leonard Nimoy was in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and some people were asking, why isn't William Shatner in the movie?
Right.
And it's because,
Because he's the Priceline negotiator.
It's like Leonard Nimoy just seemed such a more dignified...
Because he wasn't just banging space babes the whole show.
Maybe that. But also just as a person. I think Leonard Nimoy
yeah,
is just you would rather have Leonard Nimoy in your reboot than in William Shatner. You know?
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right. So that wraps up our Leonard Nimoy discussion. Let's move on into our review of Chappie.
The deployment of the planet's first robotic police units became the focus of the world in 2016...
Drop your weapons. You're under arrest.
Vincent Moore is a former soldier.
The problem with artificial intelligence is it's way too unpredictable.
The Scout's creator, Dion Wilson, sees a rich future.
What interests me is a machine that can think and feel.
I have a robot that is operated by a thinking human being.
We don't want this. It's expensive, it's big, and it's ugly.
The Scouts are a huge success. Stop worrying about these pet projects.
I think I've cracked it. This is a new kind of life form, a new step in evolution.
You are Chappie.
All right, that was from the trailer for Chappie, the newest film by Neil Blomkamp. It stars Charlton Copley as Chappie, members of Dee Antford as themselves.
Yeah, nice accent.
thank you. I'm going to do my Dee Antford impression a little later, probably.
Okay.
So look out for that. It also stars Dev Patel, Hugh Jackman, and Sigourney Weaver. So I think we were both kind of excited for Chappie.
Yes, very.
Because we're both big fans of District 9.
Yes.
And Elysium came out.
Uh-huh, that happened.
And kind of hampered my enthusiasm for Neil Blomkamp.
Understandably. I see where you're coming.
Not even that I disliked Elysium. I thought it was, fun.
Yeah.
But it wasn't District 9, which I think was what people were upset about.
Yeah.
And so, Elysium has a lot of ideas that don't really come together in any significant or meaningful way. District 9, I thought, was a really great marriage of, allegory in science fiction.
Yes.
Which is what the best science fiction is.
Absolutely.
So
District 9, I think, is a masterpiece.
It's high praise.
Yeah, I'm going there.
I'm not sure I would go that far, but I haven't seen District 9 since it was in theaters.
Okay.
So I would like to see it again, because it's been a long time.
It's outrageously good.
Yeah. Do you hear how that movie took the world by storm?
Yes.
That was
just
huge.
Happened. It was amazing.
That was a huge movie. That was such a low-budget thing.
Yeah.
It was a small thing, and it ended up, being nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Which was what?
which
it probably shouldn't have been, but it was...
Whatever. It was in there. But I think that's what, in the Slash film cast, they talk about David Chen, I believe, is the host.
Yes,
of that.
David Chen is the host of the Slash
yeah.
film cast.
And he said... because this one, Chappie and Elysium, not so much, but District 9, amazing. And he said, I think this is kind of everyone is so you can't say no to the dude who made District 9. I don't know.
Yeah, because District 9 was such a huge hit. And
yeah,
exactly. People want him to recreate that success.
Yes.
And I think Neil Blomkamp wants to recreate that success also, which is why Chappie exists.
Correct. Very correct.
So I guess, Mike, what's your thoughts on Chappie?
I guess we'll start with the good.
Okay. I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun. Like, it's the same thing as as Elysium. It was interesting that you said that, actually. I enjoyed it while I was watching it. It was great. I think the visuals, Chappie himself, which weird that I use that pronoun because he's a robot, was 100% convinced that that robot was there.
Okay.
Not even once was I like, oh, look, that looks like you could tell it's animated. Like, I don't know, which is an astounding feat, which I'll give Neil Blomkamp credit for. All of his movies, the three of them, the visuals are astounding.
Right.
So that's really cool.
Okay. You sound like you have some more, like a butt coming.
However, totally unrelated. I just watched the episode of The Daily Show last night. John Stewart was bemoaning the fact that one of English's most important and most used conjunction is also a homonym for your ass. It's just tragic.
Okay.
So that's a fact that you guys could have. So Chappie was great. It was a lot of fun. The visuals are amazing. However, it grapples with a lot of ideas that deserve to be explored and mined to great detail and like on a philosophical kind of level.
Right.
However, right. Merely pays lip service to them,
okay.
Which is a shortcoming. However, but the movie's still fun. Like, I still enjoyed watching the movie.
Okay. Okay. I'm kind of on board with what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I actually really enjoyed Chappie. And I didn't expect to.
Yeah.
Like, I was going into it, mostly, I was looking forward to Chappie, even after Elysium.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like a cool idea, and I was, like, into it, and, you know, that's a new sci-fi, an original sci-fi movie. So those are always cool to me.
Mm.
And then, like, in the weeks leading up to Chappie, the press junkets for the movie, instead of being about Chappie, just became about Neil Blomkamp directing a new Alien movie.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which
not is a good sign, I think.
So, yeah, it's like, oh, you're like, why don't you talk about the movie that you're advertising?
Yeah, instead of the movie that you're going to make next.
Yeah, like, so there was that. But I think Chappie is a much more fully realized vision than Elysium was.
Yes.
You know, it feels like the ideas here are more successfully implanted. And it's it's very reminiscent of District 9. And I think that is a result of Neil Blomkamp wanting to recreate that success to the point where the movie is set in South Africa. Features Charlton Copley as a character who, spoilers for District 9, ends up in a body that is not his own.
That's not his, yeah, exactly.
And it even begins with a documentary type thing.
Yes.
It doesn't use it to the effect District 9 does, because District 9 does it for like an hour.
Right.
Which
I don't understand why they did it, because then it...
Yeah, they only do it for like 2 minutes in Chappie.
And then it never comes back.
Yeah.
Like, the things they talk about, like, he said, like somebody says, like, Chappie is like the next step in evolution. Okay, why start that and then never talk about it? Like, that's what I've thought, you know, like, they could have had a film about artificial intelligence being the next, like, level of evolution and, like, humans
right.
creating what surpasses them. But instead, we get stuff blowing up.
Well, I think we do get stuff blowing up. And that stuff blowing up is really good.
It's awesome. That's what I gotta give Blomkamp the most credit for. His direction of action is amazing.
Yes. It's really good. But I think it does engage those ideas, at least on some level.
Yeah.
First of all, I do think Chappie, like the character himself,
mm-hmm.
is a very unique creation.
Yes.
And they use it as like the development of Chappie, I think, is really interesting to watch over time.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cringeworthy scenes.
Like, there's a few, yeah.
There are some really rough scenes in the early goings. Like, the way they go about, like, Chappie, like, existing
mm-hmm.
is they make an allegory for the development of a child.
Right.
So Chappie's essentially, like, a newborn baby at the beginning and
mm-hmm.
kind of has an accelerated growth rate.
Yeah. He's got to learn things.
Yeah, he has to learn things for himself. And it's actually really interesting to see Chappie, like, go through his, like, teenage years.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I agree with that. That Chappie's development is super interesting. And
yeah.
I want, like, a whole movie to be that. I don't know.
Yeah, and then it, like, kind of like the way outside influences affect young people
right.
is, I think, what Chappie's trying to get at
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the time. And so you have Dev Patel, who represents, like, you know, the creative and artistic side, who wants
right.
to like who wants Chappie to express himself. And then you have the dude from D. Anford, who's like, "Yo, Chappie,
Chappie, you gotta walk like a gangster, son.
Yeah.
You gotta walk like a gangster and you gotta shoot this gun.
Basically.
We're gonna pull off a heist.
Exactly. Which, Jeff Cannata in also the Slash... I'm going to just refer to the Slash Filmcast. I'm just going to rehash everything they
said.
Yeah,
it seems like we're referencing the Slash Filmcast a lot in this episode.
Because I felt... I enjoyed the movie, and then I listened to it, and I totally agreed with Jeff Cannata's critiques and opinions of it. So they were talking about how D-Antword become the main characters.
Yes.
However, they're D-Antword, and they're, like, not actors, and they're, like, a rap group from South Africa. Okay.
I actually thought their performances came off as pretty well.
It worked out. I agree that their performances weren't bad, because they're supposed to be, like, bumbling idiots.
Yes, but they're also playing themselves.
Which is bizarre.
Which is really weird. It's
really weird. They are themselves.
Like, they never actually say the words D-Antford in the movie.
No, but they wear the t-shirt.
They do wear the t-shirt.
Which also, I don't know if that this is not a spoiler, if we want to save stuff for spoilers, but whatever.
I mean, I do want to save stuff for spoilers.
But she wears a, Yolandi,
yes.
the girl... wears a Chappie t-shirt.
Yes.
In Chappie. What? I don't understand. There's a lot of weird branding things that happen in this movie.
In that case, I felt like she might have made that shirt herself. I don't know why she would have. But
yeah, but it's even styled with the lowercase I. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway. But they become the main characters, and we're supposed to sympathize with them on some level. At least Yolandi.
I think Yolandi we're supposed to sympathize
with. Yeah, the most. Because she becomes the mother.
The mother character.
Yeah.
The mother figure.
Right. She understands that Chappie is a child who has to learn, and she,
yes.
you know, relates to that. But the guy, I don't remember the guy's name.
Ninja.
Ninja, yeah. How could I forget? he's, like, detestable. He's an awful person.
Yes, that's true.
And, I don't know, him being the main focus of the movie. I don't know.
I don't think he is the main focus of the movie. I think, I would view him as more of an antagonist than anything else.
Okay.
Yolandi, I would say, is really the main focus of the movie is Chappie.
It's Chappie, yeah.
And Yolandi is meant to be a good influence on him, and Dev Patel is meant to be a good influence.
I think Ninja gets the most screen time. Or at least Ninja and Chappie.
Ninja ends up having, like, the biggest effect on Chappie's life, is a thing. Or at least a huge part of Chappie's life, because he's the one who brings Chappie into the life of crime.
So which, like, isn't... I guess you're right. We're not supposed to feel good about that, so...
Yeah, like, we're supposed to understand that that's bad, but Chappie doesn't understand that's
right.
bad.
Well,
you know?
Okay. I see where you're coming from. I get it. Analysis.
But, in any case, it is weird that D'Anford is in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, they do wear their own merchandise, and there's... I'm pretty sure there's, like, song lyrics from their songs, like, on the walls in the background.
Probably.
And then there's... They like, spray paint their album cover on Chappie.
On Chappie, yeah. Which I don't understand. I don't get, like...
Like, they never say that they're playing themselves in the movie.
No.
They don't play any songs, like...
No.
As far as I know.
And then the credits rolled, and they had the same name. So maybe they're not playing... It doesn't say as themselves, but it just says, like... Their names.
Yeah. So, says their names and they're wearing all their merchandise during the movie.
So I don't know what's happening.
So that's very odd.
It's very weird. Because it doesn't... The world isn't, like, established. Like, is he saying this is our world?
This is supposed to be our world, but with a militarized police force in South Africa.
Right.
I believe is what it is.
That's okay.
Like a robotic militarized police force. So I think it's... I mean, there's a lot of questions that this movie raises.
Yes.
That I think we're supposed to talk about in spoilers.
Okay.
So I think we should move on to that.
Let's do that.
Let's move on into spoilers for Chappie.
Spoilers. Spoilers. What? Spoilers.
Spoilers. You tell me.
Spoilers.
And who's that?
Spoilers.
So let's talk about the ending of Chappie, because I think that's where a lot of the questions and possible issues arise from the movie. So at the end of Chappie, Chappie is trying to find himself a body. And then Dev Patel gets shot.
Right.
And Chappie decides, I can transfer your consciousness to a robot body, and you can be a robot.
And
he does that.
That happens.
And then Dev Patel's a robot, and that's it.
Yeah, that happens. Dev Patel becomes a robot.
And then they do the same thing with Yolandi, who also died.
I guess
the other guy who died doesn't matter.
I don't even know who you're talking about, so I guess not.
Ninja's friend.
Oh, the American? Americano?
Yeah, Americano. He also died.
Yeah, but whatever.
But nobody cares about
him. Nobody cares about him,
because
so he's not white.
He doesn't get a robot.
Basically. he gets torn in half. Super dead.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But
they didn't have his consciousness backed up on a USB drive in a shoebox for some reason.
Yeah. Although...
because that's where they find Yolandi's.
Okay, yeah, that is where they find Yolandi's. So that happens.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends.
Yes. Why does Yolandi's robot have a face when all the other ones don't?
I don't know. That's not even my issue.
Okay.
My issue is that Chappie has basically created immortality.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. So that... is a huge concept and thing to talk about.
Yes.
And it's handled in 5 minutes at the end of this movie as an afterthought for a happy ending.
Yes. And they never once engage with the idea that this might be like game changing.
Right. This is revolutionary. This will change the entire shape of the world as we know it. But Dev Patel's alive, so who cares? End the movie. Like, what? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the movie works despite that.
Yes, I agree. Like, I have some issues with it, but it's still fun. People should still see it.
Yeah, but yeah, that really like was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Take a step back.
Calm, slow your roll. Which Jeff, one of the Slash Filmcast people had an issue with, probably Jeff because he's Jeff, and he had an issue with that, saying that doesn't even make sense. Like, how could that? Like, how could Chappie figure that out? It's like, what? And Devendra? Is that the other dude?
Devendra, yeah.
Explained it, saying, which I agree with. It would make sense because Chappie, you know, he's the next step in evolution in some way in terms of understanding. And he has the whole internet in his brain. And he reads the whole internet and he understands the breadth, the entire, you know, body of human knowledge.
Right.
And because he's a robot, I guess. I don't know. He's the next version of consciousness. Is able to take the step that we are unable to take, and he's able to figure out how to transfer consciousness. I almost said Congress, which is weird. But
yes.
So I'm willing to make that leap. Like, understand that he's able to tackle the problem that we can't.
Right.
So that's okay. However, it's handled in 5 minutes at the end of this movie, and it deserves a whole movie.
Yes. That's true. But yeah, so that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think of Hugh Jackman as the antagonist? Because I thought...
he's rocking them short shorts real hard this whole movie. Which is weird as shit. Yeah, I don't understand what his character
is. I don't really understand why Hugh Jackman was doing the things he was doing.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to have much character motivation. He seemed like he spent most of his day just glaring at Dev Patel from across the room.
Yeah, with this really shitty mullet for some reason. And, like, he's apparently able to pull a gun on a dude in an office with no repercussions.
Yeah. That, too.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then at the end of the movie, he just attacks Chappie with an Ed 209 from RoboCop.
Which, I think that was an homage, which is cool. I'll let that one go.
You'll let that one go.
I'll let that one slide. But, but yeah, his motivation doesn't really make sense. Why is Dev Patel's character invented the Scouts, which are the robot police.
Yes.
Why is he just a bro at a cubicle?
Yeah.
Not running this company? Like, I don't understand.
He should at least have his own office.
He should at least get his own office. Like, what?
Yeah.
So this got a lot of plot holes.
Yeah, the rivalry between Dev Patel and Hugh Jackman reminded me of the rivalry between Sullivan and Randall in Monsters, Inc.
Oh, my God. Yes.
You know how Randall would just spy on Sullivan from across the room and, like, would see him going into Boo's closet?
And just, like...
That's what...
That's a lot like what's happening. You're so right.
Like, Chappie was Boo, Dev Patel was Sully.
Oh, my God.
and Hugh Jackman's Randall.
Is Randall. Yeah, that makes sense. I would buy that. Yeah, so I don't know, because he has invented the moose, which is the super giant
version. The Ed 209.
Yeah, the big beastly thing that's controlled by humans, so it's, you know, still humane, even though it's literally a murder machine. And he's mad at Dev Patel for inventing the scouts, so his invention is useless. So he's going to just, like, sabotage Dev and try to kill him, I guess.
I guess.
Like, I don't, yeah, his motivation doesn't really make sense. But yeah. Whatever.
So, I mean, that's Hugh Jackman's role in the movie.
Yes. And Sigourney Weaver is also, like...
In this movie.
Kind of useless.
Yeah, she's in, like, three or four scenes.
Yeah. She's great in those scenes. Yeah, like, she's awesome.
She's fine. She's Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. But, you know, she doesn't really serve that much purpose.
But they talked in Slash Film. I'm just going to keep referring it because I don't want to steal her ideas. In Slash Filmcast, they talked about the scene when Dev Patel, he cracks the 3% of artificial intelligence that he's missing, because that's a thing you can quantify, apparently. And he goes into the office. Sigourney Weaver's character is the CEO of the company. And she's like, and he goes, right, okay, I've got artificial intelligence. This is the robot that can think. It has consciousness. It'll be its own person, basically. And she's just like, nah, you only invented the scouts. I'm not going to listen to you. You're just still a drone. Like, that person would have so much sway over this company.
I think she was like, oh, we're all very happy with you, Dev Patel.
Yeah, you've done such a good job. But think about the red tape. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. And then, like, goes back to whatever file she was reading. Like, I don't know. She's just blown off as some asshole. Like, yeah. So that was weird.
Yeah. So I think that about, it's getting to our wrap-up for our Chappie review, unless you have more to talk about.
It's not that I'm mad, Chappie. I'm just disappointed. It had such potential, and it touches on a lot of really cool ideas, but it just doesn't give them the... Not respect, but it doesn't...
It doesn't engage with them, is what you're saying?
Yes. They're not not as deeply as I had hoped.
Okay. I mean, I think it does engage on some interesting ideas, at least.
It brings them up, which is cool.
Yes, and I think it does... do some really cool and interesting things. I think I liked Chappie more than you did. Based on this conversation.
Yeah.
But in any case, that is our review of Chappie.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. Mike also enjoyed it, but to a lesser extent. If you want to check out Chappie, I think you should.
Yeah, I would say see it. I hope people like it. Like, it's good.
Or just listen to the Slash Filmcast review of Chappie. Because that's all we've been
talking
about.
And then listen to me talk about the Slash Filmcast review of Chappie. So sorry.
Yes, I haven't listened to that yet, but I do
check
plan
it out.
To.
It's good.
I'm a little behind in the Slash Filmcast. I think I'm on their Black Hat review.
So, okay, a couple months.
That's the one I got to listen to it in order. I don't know. That's
okay. Fair enough.
That's what I got to do. But in any case,
so enough about our Slash Filmcast review.
Enough about our review of the review of Chappie from the Slash Filmcast.
We're off the rails.
We are off the rails. We are speeding out of control here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our recommendations for the week. And recommendations / just whatever we want to talk about.
Discussions.
Discussions. I like that. Let's move on to our discussions.
Next week I'm doing the Slash Filmcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just talk about the Slash Filmcast for another couple hours.
I'm so sorry.
All right, let's move on into our discussions for the week. So, Mike, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I watched a few things lately. One being Only God Forgives, which is Nicholas Winding Refn's. I always want to say Wingdings, which is terrible.
It's Winding.
Is it really?
It's not Wingding, but it's Nicholas Winding Refn, I believe. I don't think it's Winding.
Well, it's whatever. He's a guy that makes really good movies.
Yes.
I'll have to look up how to pronounce his name because I'm a terrible person. It's his third? What? No, he's made a bunch. I don't know. Whatever. It's his third silent trilogy or whatever.
Silent trilogy?
Oh, well, Valhalla Rising,
Drive,
and
now
this. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't remember what the actual title call it. Well, it's not a real trilogy, but.
Okay.
He's got. There's like some. You know, like the Depression trilogy from. The guy who made...
Lars von Trier,
yes.
Like a similar trilogy.
Right, spiritual grouping, whatever.
Gotcha.
Also stars Ryan Gosling, just like Drive. Weird as hell. Like it's awesome. It was really good. Like, I enjoyed it. But it's like as art house as you can get. It's just a lot of...
Definitely.
Slow pans with people with swords.
Yeah, Only God Forgives was my favorite movie of that year, of 2013.
Yes.
And that was... Yeah, I haven't seen it since, but I really loved it. I remember I watched that movie for the first time, I was alone in my room. It was 1 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
It was dark, and it was on my computer.
Yeah.
And I was, like, headphones in, just, like, super engaged with this movie.
Uh-huh.
And, like, suddenly it was, like, 3 in the morning, and it was over. I was like, holy fuck.
What just happened? Yeah. So it's really cool if you're into that. I mean, I'll give Refn a lot of credit. His, like, artistic direction, I guess, or his visual, like, the way shots are framed with the lighting and the set,
yes,
are amazing.
Yeah, it's very Stanley Kubrick in its,
yes,
in its
it's at the end, it says it's dedicated to Jodorowsky. I can never remember his first
Alejandro
name.
Alejandro Jodorowsky.
And that shines through. Once I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So that was really cool. Check that out. But the other thing I want to talk about, I just recently watched the Harmontown documentary.
Right.
Which is now up on Netflix streaming.
Yes. Speaking of podcasts.
Speaking of podcasts. I can't wait for the Slash Filmcast movie. So the documentary follows Dan Harmon. He takes Harmontown, his podcast, on tour. It was while he was fired from a Community is when this all takes place.
Right.
It's directed by Neil Berkley. And it's awesome. Like, it's really funny. It's interesting. Dan Harmon, I think, is a really interesting human.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly, not tragic's not the right word, but very emotional, because it starts out just like a bunch of, you know, doofy idiots on this podcast, 20 cities and 20 nights or whatever it is, and they're just getting drunk, having fun, and then Dan Harmon himself confronts his drinking problem, and it handles that very openly, because and even in the podcast that they show them filming, he's very open with the audience. He tells, you know, he has a lot of confession kind of things going on.
Right.
And he talks about how it affects his relationship with his girlfriend, who's now his fiance, apparently, and or maybe wife. We don't know.
I believe they're married now.
They are actually married. So, and like his relationship with his parents and how that affected him and his, like, not tortured genius persona, but like, his need to entertain is how he describes it. He needs, he wants to be the guy that when he dies, people remember how funny he was and how happy he made them, which I think is really interesting. And I don't know, it's really cool.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Dan Harmon. I'm a huge Community nut and Rick and Morty nut. And even going back to, he used to have a TV show on VH1 called Acceptable TV, which was great. That was one season. It was 2006. And it was produced by Dan Harmon and Jack Black. And it was basically, the entire show was, it would be like 5 or 6 different segments.
Uh-huh.
And the audience would vote on which 2 segments would return for a sequel every week.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was like three-minute segments every time. And it was a lot of fun. There were some great shorts there.
That's really
there
cool.
There was this one cartoon that they had called Mr. Sprinkles, which was like horrifying. And like I recently watched that again. Like less than a year ago, like all those segments, because that one actually lasted like the entire series.
Okay.
Because it was so popular, and like that one, like I was watching it again and thought maybe this messed me up as a kid. Like I feel
this,
like
this may have informed.
I feel like this explains a lot about myself.
Wow, that's interesting.
But in any case, I'm a huge fan of Dan Harmon. I haven't kept up with Harmontown so much. I did used to listen to it a lot, like when it first started.
Yeah, I have never listened to it actually, surprisingly, and now I'm definitely gonna.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah,
and I've listened to some episodes here and there since I kind of fell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a really funny podcast.
Yeah,
and now they have like a whole group of people that they kind of
like a cast
bounce
type
up,
thing.
Like Spencer and Kumail Nanjiani's on it a bunch.
Yeah. Oh, the whole movie ends up sort of being about Spencer, who's their dungeon master.
Yes, I have heard that.
Who's just
guy. I was actually at New York Comic Con this past year, and
yeah, it's just casual, yeah, whatever.
Well, I was at New York Comic Con, and I went to the Harmontown panel, which they had,
mm-hmm.
and Spencer was there, and Dan Harmon was there, and the director of the movie, Neil Berkley.
Yep.
Yeah, they were there, and they were discussing that, and they were saying that the movie eventually just becomes about Spencer.
Yeah, Dan Harmon says at some point, he's like, I've had a tragic realization that I'm the villain of this movie, and Spencer's the hero, really, who's just some guy who wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons
with
them.
Yeah, just some guy who showed up.
Yeah, and he's now full time.
Now he's like Dan Harmon's personal assistant.
Really? He was on Community, I know, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, he was in an episode of Community.
He's Andy's brother, I think, right?
Yes, that is true.
So that's really cool, and it's all about his transformation of being an introvert. Or not, he doesn't transform into an extrovert, but like being able to handle people and like what that means for him as a person and stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah, I think so much of what Dan Harmon does is about outsiders like trying to fit in almost.
Yeah.
And so I think this movie will probably, like, I haven't seen it yet, but I think this, it sounds like it's kind of about that also.
Yeah, very much about his audience. And he says, he's like, we're all just a bunch of like smelly, weird nerds that want to love each other. It's like, aww. Yep. Which is nice.
Yes. So that is the Harmontown documentary.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to check that out. My brother just watched that too because he's a huge Harmontown fan.
Nice.
And he told me it's awesome. So I will check that out soon.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's move on to my recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Or my discussions.
The discussions.
For this movie pod. is that what we called it? Movie pod?
Movie pod, yeah. I was like, what?
Oh, that was so long ago. It was like an hour ago.
Whoa.
Right.
Way back in the past.
All right. So I have a couple TV shows I want to talk about this week.
Okay.
Mixing it up a little bit here.
Whoa. Careful.
So one of those TV shows is Last Man on Earth, which is the new show by Phil Lord and Chris Miller and also Will Forte.
Mm-hmm. So you came when you saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've talked about this a few times in the podcast about how much I love Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
And also MacGruber.
And also how much I love MacGruber. And Will Forte in general. But
yeah.
MacGruber is amazing. So, yes, these three guys are awesome. And they have a new show.
They do.
It's called Last Man on Earth. And the premise of this show is that it takes place in the year 2020. Or it starts out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Forte is the last man on Earth.
Is he the only character in the show? Can you say that without spoiling things?
I feel like I can't even answer that without spoiling.
Okay. Never mind.
Because if I say no, then...
Then I know.
Then you know. But if I say yes,
you're
then
lying.
Okay.
I got you.
Will Forte is not the only character on the show.
Okay.
But he is for a while.
For a long time.
So the show premiered with a one-hour premiere. So it was two episodes.
Yeah.
And most of the first episode, like I'd say like the first 20 to 25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
is just Will Forte... like dicking around.
Is he talking at all?
Yeah, he's talking like to God and talking to himself.
Okay.
And
I was really hoping it was just like a silent TV show of him doing physical comedy things.
There is a lot of that.
I'm in.
There's also a joke where he's watching Castaway and he's like yelling at the movie like, "No, Tom Hanks, I'm not going to talk to a volleyball. That's ridiculous." And then, like, 5 minutes later, he has an entire cast of volleyball and basketballs and, like,
awesome.
Various sports balls. So, yeah, the show is very reliant on Will Forte's performance. And, like, it's actually, like, I believe it was Will Forte's idea for the show. And it was, like, his kind of baby.
Right.
And he, like, brought Phil Lord and Chris Miller on it. Phil Lord and Chris Miller directed the first two episodes.
Okay.
And, yeah, so the entire show... is the premise is that humanity has been wiped out by this virus,
mm-hmm.
and Will Forte is quote unquote the last man on
last
earth.
Last man on earth.
So far, three episodes have aired, and I will say that at least one other character has showed up.
Okay,
but I will not say who plays them.
All right,
because that's.
We'll see if I can trick you into more spoilers.
Well, it's
don't give it away.
I'm not going to give it away.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's a lot.
Well,
it's,
the person is.
The surprise is a lot of the fun.
Yeah,
I
would imagine.
Yeah, and I think it's a 13 episode season, and
okay.
You know, I have questioned how involved Phil Lord and Chris Miller are in the show,
right?
Because
obviously
they're busy guys.
Yeah,
you know, they're sort of making major movies now,
doing things.
But it seems like they're heavily involved. Like they're tweeting about the show constantly.
Really, that's awesome.
Like during the show, they always like they know exactly what's going on, and like
mm-hmm.
so that's cool. And it seems like they. I think it's a 13-episode season. They're not sure if it's going to make it to season two because it's such a weird concept. And
and it's on, like, Fox or something?
It is on Fox.
So it's straight-up network primetime.
Straight-up network primetime. This is a bizarre show to be airing on a network.
Yeah, this is weird.
So with that said, though, Last Man on Earth is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's super funny. It's super funny.
All right, I'm going to have to watch it.
There is some incredible scenes in this show, and it's really enjoyable. So I would definitely check that out.
Okay.
The other show I wanted to talk about is a new show called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt,
mm-hmm.
which is the new show by Tina Fey and Robert Carlock. Now, 30 Rock is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Okay.
It's the best.
Yes, I would agree with this.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what way you slice it, I was excited for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen it, I can tell you this. It is 30 Rock. And so it is great.
Okay.
I've only seen the first two episodes of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but the entire season is available on Netflix.
It is
now.
All up on Netflix. Okay.
It stars Ellie Kemper, Titus Burgess, who played DeFuan on 30 Rock, Jane Krakowski, who played Jenna on 30 Rock, and Carol Kane. And it is awesome. Basically, the premise behind the show. Have you heard anything about the show?
No.
Okay.
Just know it's 30 Rock.
Okay. So the premise behind the show is that Ellie Kemper is a person who was kidnapped at a very young age.
Okay.
And forced to live in this bunker, like with this cult-like figure.
Okay.
For like 15 years with this group of other women, and they get rescued 15 years later.
Right.
And travels in, like. Become this big news story.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the Indiana Mole Woman because they were in Indiana.
Indiana Mole Woman? Oh, my God. Damn it, Tina Fey.
And they go on a press tour, like, and they end up in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And then when they're in New York City, Ellie Kemper decides, you know, this is time for her to start living, and she decides to stay in New York City.
Right.
And the entire premise of the show is her trying to adjust to life in New York City.
After literally growing up underground.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it's awesome. Ellie Kemper
is... So she's been under a rock her whole life.
Yes. Ellie Kemper is adorable.
She is. She's awesome.
She was easily, like, the best part about The Office.
Yeah, one of my favorite characters
during its later years.
Yeah.
Like, she came on in, like, season 5. Like, something like that.
Yes.
And, yeah. So she came on right as the show was, like, declining.
Kind of tanking a little bit. Yeah.
But, like, she was always really funny on the show.
Yeah.
And, like, even during its worst years, like, she was always, like,
her and
best.
Ed Helms were amazing.
Even Ed Helms, I would say, like, was part of the problem a lot of times.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like, especially in, like, season... I remember in season 8 of The Office was the really rough one.
Well, those don't count.
Season 8 of The Office when Ed Helms' Andy was in charge of The Office.
I stopped watching way before that. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But Ellie Kemper was always still really funny.
Yeah.
And so Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is basically her playing her own version of Tina Fey at 30 Rock.
Okay.
But a much more, like, naive and, like, juvenile person almost.
Right.
But in the meantime, you also have Jane Krakowski, who's essentially just playing Jenna. So that's great.
I kind of hope this... I don't know if I want to say this. I hope this, like, becomes a trend of, like, shows getting canceled and then Netflix just picking up, like, the alternate reality version of it. It's, like, mostly the same people, but we're just going to change a couple of character names.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was actually developed for NBC.
Really?
Yes. And NBC...
Plot twist.
NBC ended up passing on it because they knew it would fail on their network.
Wow. That's bizarre.
So Netflix picked it up. For, like, a full... I think it's already renewed for season 2.
Wow.
So it's already got, like...
Netflix is on top of that.
Yeah. They know their audience.
Yeah, they do.
But, yeah. So, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Last Man on Earth, they're both awesome. Both really great new comedy shows that have premiered this month. And then the other thing I want to talk about, I was going to watch Too Fast, Too Furious to continue my journey through the Fast and Furious franchise. I did not have time to do that yet. I will do that. Before Furious 7 comes out, I will have watched
all 6
the rest of the next 5 Fast and Furious movies.
Right.
In the meantime, I did watch Sunset Boulevard, a classic movie directed by Billy Wilder.
Who can forget it? I've never heard of it, but I feel really dumb.
What? Okay.
Educate me.
Well, Sunset Boulevard.
I know you were going to wrap it up, but I'm not going to let you.
God damn it. Man. You've never heard of Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
How are we even podcasting?
I don't know. Well, here on Movie Pod, it's an educational experience.
All right. So Sunset Boulevard is a movie made in 1950. And it's about this character who is a screenwriter in Hollywood who is short on luck. He's, like, not getting any work in. And he ends up meeting this silent movie actress who's been, like, shut in and, like...
Okay.
Taken away from, like, her fame has deteriorated.
Right.
She's like this.
Now that talkies are around,
she's, like, not big anymore, but she still has, like, all this money and nothing to do it with.
Right.
Or nothing to do with it. And he basically becomes, like, her live-in assistant.
Okay.
Sort of. He's, like, under the guise of writing, like, her masterpiece.
Essentially. I see. Okay.
It's a great movie. And it was, I was actually just seeing it for the first time. Billy Wilder, I'm amazed I'm just here for the first time. I went through a Billy Wilder.
You were so shocked that I haven't.
Well,
I hadn't heard of it.
You hadn't even heard of it, man.
Yeah. That's embarrassing. No,
I was seeing it for the first time, but I went through a huge Billy Wilder kick a few years ago, where I would just watch a bunch of Billy Wilder movies like Double Indemnity and The Apartment and Some Like It Hot.
Okay.
And The Ace in the Hole and all that stuff.
So this is your jam. What you're saying.
Somehow I missed Sunset Boulevard, and I will never forgive myself for that.
You've read it that wrong.
But it's a great movie. It's very film noir-esque, but it's also...
You said the magic word, I'm in.
It's also really clever and really funny. There's a lot of great Hollywood dialogue. Cecil B. DeMille plays himself in the movie.
Is D. Antwoord in it?
Yeah, D. Antwoord is Sunset Boulevard. As themselves. They spray paint all of their logos.
Dicks on everything. That was another thing we forgot to mention in Chappie, in our review of Chappie.
Yeah, there's pictures of dicks. Look,
everything is wanged. I don't know.
Yeah.
Even Ninja has a dick tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird. Okay. So Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard. It's really good.
It's great. Seminal piece of Hollywood cinema.
Yeah, there's so many clever lines of dialogue. There's this one really great exchange. Where like the script, like the writer is like in an office, and like the woman comes in and is like, "Oh, you're so and so. I heard you had talent." And he's just like, "Oh, that was last year. This year I'm trying to make a living."
That's awesome. Very film noir.
Very film noir esque stuff.
Yes.
So and I mean the cast in this movie, William Holden is great as the main character. Gloria Swanson was an actual silent movie actress.
Really?
Whose fame deteriorated and ended up doing this movie.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
that's so really cool.
It was the Birdman of its day.
It was. How revolutionary. I like when that kind of stuff happens, like in Singing in the Rain. I don't remember the girl's name, though, because that's, you know, about silent actors.
Yes.
Adapting to musical or talkies kind of thing, and they voice over the actress's voice while she's acting, and right. They voiced over her singing, like they dubbed over her singing voice because she couldn't sing.
Right.
So they did what they were doing in the movie. Where I was going with that. All right. That's cool.
Yeah. But that is Sunset Boulevard.
Is it life imitating art or art imitating life, man?
All right. That's Sunset Boulevard. I just wanted to briefly mention that because I didn't get to talk. I wanted to talk about a movie this week, and that movie was supposed to be Too Fast, Too Furious, but I didn't get the chance.
You let us down.
So I ended up watching a movie that's probably way better.
In the long run,
I'm happier with Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Because it's great. But definitely, if you haven't seen Sunset Boulevard, check it out. Or just check out all of
Too Furious.
Or just check out all of Billy Wilder's filmography, because he's one of the best directors around.
Yeah.
Not around anymore, but like one of the best directors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, that is a wrap, I think.
Thanks for listening to episode one of the Movie Pod.
Yeah, we should just keep rebranding.
Oh my God.
I think it's what we should do.
All right.
So we were the Film Review Podcast.
Film Review Podcast.
And then we were Film Bookcast. Yep. And now we're Movie Pod. And then we'll be Chappie Pod.
God damn it.
Where we will just discuss Chappie.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Over and over.
And then we'll just be the Slash Filmcast. No, we'll be the Slash Filmcast Review Podcast.
Oh my God.
Where we will just review episodes of the Slash
Filmcast. I'm going to definitely tweet to all of the people on the Slash. And say that we're going to do that.
So that's...
And then be ignored. So I can't wait. Yeah. It's going to be great.
The Slash Filmcast Review Podcast, where we review episodes of the Slash Filmcast.
And review the movie they talked about.
No, we don't do that.
We just review just the podcast.
We don't watch the movies they talk about. We just review the podcast.
Oh, my God.
And discuss whether they did a good job reviewing the movie that it
What happened to our show? We were doing a thing. And now
we will wrap it up.
We're here. Okay.
Yes. So, all right. That is. So that is an end to Film Bookcast. We'll see you next week for the Slash Film Review Podcast. All right. Mike, where can we find more of your work on the internet this week?
You can find me on twitter.com/MDFilmBlog.
MD Film Blog.
Yeah.
Way to be.
I'm the only one that's got a name like that.
Yes. That said, you can follow me. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MSmithFilmBlog.
Well, where'd you get that idea?
You can also find many of my podcasts on filmbook.com and various places like iTunes. I have podcasts about Arrow and The Walking Dead and The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm super tired. So I think that about wraps it up.
That's
so
it.
Good night, guys, and we'll see you all next weekish.
Probably.
Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves.
And you can't do the what you usually do.
Because Dave Chen did it.
Because Dave Chen did it.
Yeah. Those are usually modeled in Dave Chen's jokes. So I have to think
of them. I was listening to it, and he's like, okay, so we saw a Neil Blomkamp movie set in South dystopian South Africa. And I was like, God damn it, Mike. But enough about District 9.
Boom. Did he say boom at the end?
He did. God damn it.